This is Fresh Air. John Prine has a new album called The Missing Years, and although the title wasn't intended as a reference to his absence from the recording studio, the truth is a lot of people have lost track of him since the 70s. He made his recording debut 20 years ago. Back then, his anti-war songs, skeptical observations, and his unpolished voice made him one of the many singer-songwriters heralded as the new Bob Dylan. Now Prine is one of the veterans who has kept true to his style no matter what changes were happening in the music scene. Creating his own record label helped him do it. Prine recently ended a concert tour opening for his old friend Bonnie Raitt. This new record is his first studio album since 1986. Here's his song, All the Best.
I wish you love and happiness. I guess I wish you all the best. I wish you don't do like I do. Never fall in love with someone like you. Cause if you feel just like I did, you probably walk around the block like a little kid. But kids don't know, they can only guess how hard it is to wish you happiness.
Did you write this song shortly after separation?
Yeah, I did. I wrote it on the road. Actually, I was playing in Charlottesville, and we'd rented an RV to get to the next city, and it had a little stove on it, and I was making like tacos at about 65 miles an hour. Of course, I had somebody else driving. And I started writing this song that's All the Best. It all came out like at once. It's not the kind of song you would sit around and think about too much, you know?
Are bad emotional times good songwriting times for you?
Yeah, unfortunately they are.
At least you get something out of the misery.
Yeah, I got a pretty good album out of my first divorce, too. But it's a heck of a way to make a living.
Really? There's something of a revival in the area of acoustic rock and singer-songwriter recordings. Do you feel like that's having an effect on you now?
Well, I guess somewhat it is. I just heard the same thing myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known it. You know, everything over the years, like whether or not, regardless of what was really going on in mainstream, fortunately, my music has carried me over. I've had a good bass audience that's come to support me all the time, you know?
I want to play another song from your new record. And this one's called Take a Look at My Heart. It was co-written by John Mellencamp, and there's a backup vocal by Bruce Springsteen. Can you talk about how this song came to be?
Well, I wrote this song about 6 years ago with John Mellencamp. We wrote two songs, and he recorded one. It was called Jackie O. And I've recorded this one like three different times, but I couldn't get it to rock as much as I wanted to. It came out sounding before like more like a pretty slick pop song. So I just kept trying it every time I'd go back in to record again.
So what do you do differently on this version of Take a Look at My Heart that makes it more satisfactory to you, more of what you wanted?
Well, Albert Lee came in to play electric guitar on it, and at the same time he laid down a rock and roll piano rhythm that he could lay his electric guitar over the top of. And he also put some mandolin on there, just rhythm stuff that he could do, would just make it just rock a little bit more. So when he played that beautiful electric guitar on it, the thing really kind of kicked, you know?
Well, this is from John Prine's new album, The Missing Years, and this is Take a Look at My Heart.
She's gonna tear you apart.
John Prine is my guest. When you started out, you were known as one of, you know, the new Dylans. How did that way of looking at you affect you?
Well, I thought it was highly complimentary at first, you know. I mean, because Bob Dylan's one of them. He inspired me to start writing in the first place, him and Hank Williams Sr.'s songs did. But they hung that title, that new Dylan thing, on a lot of different people. I think for no particular reason. I don't think they were really looking for a new Bob Dylan. There wasn't anything wrong with the old one.
How did you start writing songs?
Well, my brother taught me a couple of chords when I was 14. And I found it was easier to write songs, or I just called them making up songs, than to try and learn other people's songs. It was just easy for me to put the words together and get a little melody together. I wrote a couple of songs when I was 14 and I put on my second album.
Which songs are those?
The Frying Pan, about the guy that comes home and finds a note in the frying pan that his wife left, and one called Sour Grapes. See, even at 14, I was writing songs about divorce.
When you were writing songs and knew only a couple of chords, did you have to write melodies that would accommodate the couple of chords that you knew?
Yes, I kind of still do. I don't know all that many chords today. I learned most of my guitar playing within those first couple of years. And I prefer simpler melodies, like sometimes I just go for the rhythm of the words, mm-hmm. let that dictate the melody. It's almost like listening to somebody talk, how their voice rises and falls.
John Prine is my guest. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is singer-songwriter John Prine. What were the early venues that you got started in? What kind of places?
Oh, geez, let's see. The Earl of Old Town in Chicago. I first started out at a place called the Fifth Peg in Chicago, over in Armitage, across the street from the Old Town School of Folk Music, which was a little scene that was going on. My brother introduced me to, and where a lot of people played folk music and some, like, Appalachian music. And there was this bar across the street that people would meet after school and kind of exchange ideas and that. And that was the first place I ever got up on stage, was over the Fifth Peg.
Were you nervous the first few times you performed? I mean, everybody's nervous when they perform at first, but some people feel like they really don't have, you know, what it takes to pull it off.
Well, I didn't think about it too much. I didn't plan on getting up there, and I'd had a couple of beers, so I was a little bit loose. But when I got up on the stage, and that one little spotlight there, because it was a tiny stage, that they shined on me, it was like, it was one of the most comfortable places I'd ever been.
Yeah, why was it comfortable?
I don't know. It's just like I started talking to the people. It was easier to talk to the crowd than it was talking to people one-on-one.
Gee, that's hard to explain, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know I was meant for that. You know, maybe maybe if I would have been crossing a road or something and somebody's headlights would have hit me, I would have started telling stories.
Now, I've read that you were discovered at a bar by Kris Kristofferson and Paul Anka, and all I could think about were Kristofferson and Anka at the bar together? I mean, it's such like an unlikely combination of people.
The way the story went is Steve Goodman was opening for Kris Kristofferson his first time that Chris came through Chicago. And Paul Anka, I think, was playing one of the hotels in Chicago, and he liked one of Kristofferson's songs in particular. It was probably the Good Times, I guess. And just came over to introduce himself, and that's how all that happened, that they were in one room. And they were telling Steve Goodman how good they thought his songs were, and he should think about perhaps getting a record deal. So Steve said, if you think I'm good, get in a cab, and I'll take you across town to see my buddy. And he brought him over to see me. And within about a month's time, Steve and I were in New York, and I think we were in New York about 26 hours before we both had record contracts.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what did Kristofferson and Anka actually do for you?
Well, Chris just introduced us to a lot of people in the business.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced me to Jerry Wexler over at Atlantic Records. And Paul Anka ended up buying the plane tickets, so Paul was our manager for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, did you have to tell him if you genuinely liked his early records or not?
No, I never got cornered, Terry.
You must really miss Steve Goodman a lot.
Yeah, I do. I miss him more than ever, now than ever.
Yeah. Let me ask you about one of your early songs. That's one of your best-known songs. I'm thinking of the song Paradise, which is pretty autobiographical. And Paradise is the name of the town in Kentucky that your parents were born in?
Yes.
And you still had a lot of relatives there when you were growing up, so you'd go and visit there in the summers?
Right.
Why don't we hear this song? This is the original recording from the early 70s.
When I was a child, my family would travel down to western Kentucky, where my parents were born. And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
I wrote this for my dad.
You wrote it for your dad?
Mm-hmm. Just so he'd know I was a songwriter.
What was his reaction to the song?
Oh, he loved it. He loved it. When I brought it home on a record after I had my first acetate of it, I brought it home and I got a record player to play it on, and he went and sat. He got up when this song came on and went in the other room and sat in the other room. And when the song was done, I walked in there. I said, "How come you walked out of the room when the song came on?" He said he wanted to pretend it was on the jukebox.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah.
What are some of your memories of Paradise, Kentucky?
There's about three general stores, and we'd sit on the porch of a general store and shoot pop bottles off of a fence and just walk down the hill and jump in a boat with my grandfather. And there was one black fella in town. His name was Bubby Short. And Bubby and my grandfather were constant companions. Bubby had a great white beard, and he used to tell real funny stories. And they'd take me out fishing with them, buy me an orange soda, pat me on the head, act like I caught the catfish when they caught them.
You still doing a lot of your early songs when you perform now?
Yeah, fortunately, they've worn well with time. You don't ever know that when you're writing them.
Your new album, The Missing Years, is on your own record label, Oh Boy. Why did you decide to start your own label?
Well, I was constantly making, like, my entire living is traveling on the road. If my refrigerator breaks down, I, like, gotta go to Kansas City and, you know, sing for 2.5 hours. So I've got that all figured out after about 15 years of doing this. And I figure, well, if I see these people and they come and buy my records and they come and listen to me sing, then why shouldn't I just go directly to them? Because when all the major labels I've ever been on, you can hear them scratching their heads like thousands of miles away, wondering wondering what they're going to do with this animal, John Prine. So I figured I'd save everybody a lot of time and confusion by just being president of my own record label. It's taken us a while to get it distributed well enough so we could compete with the distribution of major labels. And now we've pretty much got it around to that, so it's kind of nice. And also, 150,000 records is gold at Oh Boy.
How did you end up calling your label Oh Boy?
Well, it was partially from that Buddy Holly song, All of My Love, All of My Kissing.
Oh, yeah.
That, and also I figured if it was a bad day at Oh Boy, it'd be Oh Boy. And if things were really good, it'd be Oh Boy.
Is there a song from the new record you'd particularly like to go out with?
Oh, yeah. Would you please play The Sins of Mephisto?
Sure. Actually, I was thinking of playing that one anyways.
Great.
Okay, here we go. The Sins of Mephisto from John Prine's new record, The Missing Years.
St. Mary to the Count of Monte Cristo, nothing can stop, nothing can stop, nothing can stop the sins of Mephisto.
Sally used to play with her hula hoops. Now she tells her problems to therapy groups. Grandpa's on the front lawn staring at a rake, wondering if his marriage was a terrible mistake. I'm sitting on the front steps drinking Orange Crush, wondering if it's possible for me to still blush. Oh yeah. A boy on a bike with corduroy slacks sleeps in the river.
John Prine begins a 7-city tour through the Midwest on November 15th. This is Fresh Air.